So last night when I was on my way home, it was a little rainy. It was foggy, and in our area, people are, I like to think, just bad drivers.
They sure are.
That's what I tell myself.
Third worst drivers in all of America.
Yeah. Rated. So if it rains here and it's like kind of foggy out, people are just terrible.
Yeah. You got to watch out for them. Like, it's the episode where old people are driving in South Park.
Yeah.
So if you drive in the DMV area, that is the DC, Maryland, Virginia metropolitan area, and precipitation has happened, people will lose their goddamn minds.
Yeah.
All hell breaks loose. People die. PvP gets enabled.
PvP gets enabled.
PvP gets enabled for no reason. For no reason.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
I like to think I'm a pretty good driver, so it's like, I'm not having any problems. Like, it's whatever. But I'm driving along, and I was going pretty fast, but it was, so was everyone else around. It was that kind of, that time of night. Yeah. And then I'm getting off the fucking exit to get into, to, you know, where I live, you know, and then this car has been traveling beside me for, like, probably a good mile and a half, 2 miles almost, maybe. And we're going about the same speed.
Right.
And so I'm just like, well, clearly he's dedicated to that lane.
Yeah.
This is, I'm in the lane where he could turn.
Yeah.
There's no signal or anything.
Yeah.
And then, like, as I'm getting ready to get into the next coming up lane for my exit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He starts turning.
He just decides.
I'm, like, right next to this fucker.
Oh, fuck, bro.
That's like Grand Theft Auto NPC behavior.
Yeah, what the fuck?
Well, because he just pathed. In my head, well, for one, I grabbed my phone real quick just to, like, you know, do something. Like, you know, hit a button really quick.
Yeah.
I wasn't, like, really looking
hitting
at my
next
phone
on the thing.
Yeah. But then I glanced up, and then it's just like, I was like, kind of looks like he's coming over a little bit. There's no way. And then, yeah, no, he just started to come over, and then, like, I slam on my horn.
Traitor!
I barely remember what. It was like a quick, like, jerk maneuver on my part. Like, I quickly went to the right.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Swerved around. I don't know what he did. I guess just kept going, because I just whip that, my horn going the whole time, and then managed to, like,
you survived. He had to go regroup to make his
next
attempt
on your life. It's raining, mind you. And then got into my lane, and he zoomed in onto my fucking exit, and then just fucking went off.
Went off his business. What the fuck? And what a jackass.
Jesus.
I almost caught up to him, but then he went in, like, a different direction, and I wasn't gonna, like, do anything, but I was just, like, sitting there, like, really? Like,
why would you do this?
Yeah, you're just gonna zoom off after almost taking my ass out? Like,
Jesus.
Sorry, I forgot I was driving next to you for the past mile.
I was pretty sure we didn't hit, but then I got home, and then I was like, huh. And I just kind of shined my light on the side, and I don't know if it's from this. It was a white car. I got a little strip of white on, like, just the left front side of my bumper. But there's, like, it doesn't look like there's any dents or anything, but it's, like, just a little, it looks like I took some of his paint.
Oh, man.
So
we kissed, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, a little smooch.
Oh, my goodness.
And with that, welcome back to Scryer's Room. I am your host, Fanfare.
I'm Kevin.
I'm Mario, still alive.
Exactly.
I didn't hear it. And if you enjoy the nature of this content, go and give us a like and subscribe on YouTube, and go and give us a follow on Blue Sky, and you can support us on our Patreon. And we're going to go in with some more One Piece.
Yeah, so.
Mainly I just told that story because after it happened last night, I just then calmly drove home and was just like, I don't need to tell anybody about this. It's whatever. Like, it's not going to do anything. Like,
well, I'm glad you get it off your chest here. Like, that sounds scary and stressful.
That shit happens a lot, though, if there's any kind of rain around here.
People just lose their minds, man. It's crazy.
But I'm happy to be here to listen to Kevin talk about One Piece.
And talk about One Piece, I will. So, what I want to talk about a little bit is, so I think up to Arlong Park is, like, the part one of One Piece. We get introduced to, like, basically all the main characters, and, like, it feels very much part one. It culminates at Arlong.
Yeah.
So, I want to talk a little bit about, just generally, what do you do when you're starting part two of anything? What do you do with your first sequel? What do you do with, your first follow-up? Because there are conventions for it, and things that make it work, and things that, like, are failures.
Yeah, a lot of times you get the recap. You usually get your first recap around now.
That is one of the big ones. One of the things that people often do that are I think is like a misunderstanding of like making your next sequel is they will often be like, what if we give them something completely different right away?
Yeah, no. Don't pivot yet.
At the very least for part two of something, you're not ready for a pivot.
We're not invested enough to pivot.
One Piece does a really good job, I think, with what a part two should be. Because right now we're going to go to Rogue Town.
Rogue Town.
Yes. This is the island city town that Gold Roger was both from and where they eventually would execute him.
I think
22 years before the start of the series? 20 years?
Something like that.
Yeah. It's currently run by a Marine name of Smoker. He's always smoking. You know how you'll see people do like two cigarettes?
Yeah.
He does two cigars.
That's awesome. What a Chad.
His powers are turning into smoke also.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So now's the time we're going to get to the power imbalances. Because we're encountering something where you can't just punch that guy.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
This is the round where One Piece starts getting interesting. I know that they end up circumventing a lot of this with hockey, and that's like one of the reasons hockey like is a game changer. But they don't have that yet, so it's going to be interesting to see how they handle this guy.
Also, doesn't he have a bandolier of cigars as well?
Yes, he does. Yes, he does.
That's so dumb.
He also has a motorcycle that he turns his legs into smoke, and they go into the engine to move the motorcycle.
That's sick.
It's extremely sick. In fact, I want to bring this up as like a thing if you're working on your part two, your sequel. One Piece only introduces Logia Devil Fruits, where you turn into like your element thing, at like around this. Like this is the first we're seeing of it. And then we're going to be introduced to like a bunch of them in a row. And I think if you're looking at your sequel thing, the first thing that you need to realize is what is the interesting components of your like work, and then how can I expand them? Like One Piece knows the devil fruits and the weird powers. That's good. People like that. Now we have to go further. What's the next, what's the stronger version of that? And that's where we get the Logia piece.
And this is also the first time really encountering another devil fruit in this caliber.
Yeah, everyone else's devil fruit has been like just buggy falling to pieces, and like hasn't really been important in this kind of way.
Yeah,
and he also has a lieutenant character who is his little sidekick, name of Tashigi. She looks and behaves exactly like Kuina from Zoro's backstory.
Okay.
The only difference is that she has glasses, and every time she shows up, she's gonna do the Velma bit of, my glasses! I can't see without my glasses!
Fun. That's fun.
Yeah.
Through meeting her, we actually get some swords lore, because Zoro has to go buy new swords. Remember how his swords broke? Yeah. That turned out to... That's stuck.
It didn't okay. Well, shit.
It didn't just reset at the end of the day. This is an Aqua Teen Hunger Force. So when he goes to buy new swords, the shopkeeper tries to like swindle him a little bit and that's how we find out that the white sword that he has, the one that he always puts in his mouth, that is the sword Wado Ichimonji. It's one of the 21 great grade swords, literally a masterwork, the most valuable thing that like anyone has seen in like so far in the series. Conceivably, Zoro could have gone up to Arlong and said, this sword, I will trade it for all of the towns on this island, each of them being worth 100 million. And Arlong would have been like, bet! Like, absolutely. Wow. It's an unbelievably valuable thing. And this guy was trying to swindle Zoro out of it for like, hey, I'll give you 500 grand, maybe. Gotta turn a profit here.
Yo.
Tashigi and the shopkeeper are like arguing over this, and he's like, you're getting in the way of my business. And Zoro in the background the whole time is like, I wasn't gonna sell it.
Yeah, it's not my style.
I'd need two more. Selling one isn't helping anyone.
Yeah.
We also see that this sword shop is handled hilariously. It's not like, so what will you take from my shop of weapons? It's more of like that barrel, all of the swords are 50,000.
Oh, man.
This is like, you know, everyone needs a cutlass.
Yeah,
this
everyone needs a sword.
You need something to swing.
This is pirate marine world, like, you know? Yeah. And then he's like, the next part, Zoro's takes a gander at the bargain bin.
Yeah.
There you go.
The bargain the bin.
Shitty quality swords, which are like super cheap.
Because he's got $100,000 to pay for two new swords. The only way he's going to get two of them is he has to go to the bargain bin. And they're like, you're better off just spending $100,000 on one good sword. And he's like, that'd be really helpful if I only needed one more.
Yeah, that would be. Yeah.
So he's but going alas, through them. I need two. And he pulls out this sick-ass red one.
Oh, baby.
And Kuina is... I wrote the dumb way that I wrote her down is Kuina with a stronger neck. Because she lived.
You can like pick out the sword man. Too as soon as Zoro does, because it's like has like a like an evil aura.
Yeah.
Oh baby.
It's visibly cursed, and he draws it, and the shopkeeper's like, "You don't want that sword."
Yeah. All but yeah.
And Zoro is like, it's evil, but is it like a good sword? And he's like, probably the sharpest thing on this island right now. And he's like, I think I need to take it then. And he's like, you can't do it, boy. You're going to throw your life away. Everyone who wields the Sandai Kitetsu will die. Horrible death. And so Zoro, because his entire thing is, he needs to remind, he's like, everybody coming back from the Arlong Park arc, you need to realize, I'm a hard-ass motherfucker who does hard-ass motherfucker
things. Yeah, he does.
He outstretches his left arm, and he throws the unsheathed sword into the air so that as it falls, it will either slice his arm off or roll harmlessly off. And everyone at this point is like, they're screaming. Everybody's like, no!
Oh my god, what a ballsy move!
And then it falls down, and the back of the sword hits his arm, and it perfectly falls around his arm, and then embeds itself into the floor. It cuts through like a lightsaber.
Oh man.
It would have got his ass.
Oh man.
And Zoro's like, it's chosen me, then I'll take it.
Jeez. Yeah. Okay. Well, fuck. What a Chad move.
Yeah, and the shopmaster's just like, clearly you're a great swordsman. I have this other blade.
Yeah. This is the nicest sword that I have. And I want you to also have it. And he's like, I can only afford the cheap-ass sword. He's like, you don't need to pay for Sandai Kitetsu or this one. You're so manly. Have them both for free. Hell and his yeah. wife is screaming at him. Because you can't do that.
No.
Meanwhile, he's just like, can't you see how manly of a swordsman he is?
You mean, you see that shit? It was so sick. It was the coolest thing I've ever seen. Wow.
Which, to quote Monty Python, water retards handing out swords is no way to...
It's no way to run a system of government.
No way to run a system of government.
Throwing swords into the air is no way to pick out who gets two freebies of the two most valuable things in this shop.
I'm glad you could make the parallel. I was trying to find the reach there, but it reminds me of that. Of just no way, the way swords just handle people's
conduct. So at this point, Zoro has like his swords again, and Rogue Town is basically like the last stop before the entrance to the Grand Line. So everybody really is trying to re-up their supplies here. Nami is out there buying clothes, and Sanji is buying giant crazy monster fish, and Usopp is trying to source out like eggs so that he can make rotten egg stars to like shoot out of his fucking slingshot.
Oh, fun. That's pretty fucking annoying.
And then Nami steps out after like buying, like she tries on like 100 outfits, and the shopkeeper's like, you have money for all this? And she's like, I could easily afford all of this. But instead of that, I will be taking this bargain outfit of a t-shirt and shorts. And like, she slides $5 across the table, like, and keep the change, like, wink. And then she steps out in her like cheap ass clothing and all of her money still in her pocket. And she notices, pressure change around here. Oh, weird. Wasn't supposed to storm today, I don't think. Oh, well, that just means there's going to be a storm, I bet. And then we go see Sanji and everybody doing their thing. And then Luffy he's off doing his own thing. What would you think Luffy's doing in the town of the Pirate King's execution? But also, importantly, the last chance they have to re-up their supplies, get any information... You know, any of that. What would you think Luffy would be doing?
Eating food.
That's a good guess. It's wrong, too. He's climbing the very public gallows that are like a protected landmark.
Yeah. Oh.
Because this is so cool.
It's on like a big like scaffolding like platform, and so he's just like
climbing a 30-foot platform in the middle of the center of town. Everyone can see him.
It's for
not subtle at all.
It's for public execution.
Yeah,
it's the most visible it could be.
Yeah, God bless.
Importantly,
bless
it's the most,
his heart.
It is the most visible it could be on a marine base island, where they specifically have wanted posters now. That was the end of Arlong Park.
Yeah,
everybody got on wanted posters. So Smoker is like smoking his two cigars, like, what's going on out there? And then he's like, got papers in his hands. He's like, some kid climbing the scaffolding. And he looks down at the papers. That isn't the same kid, is it? That can't be right. And
yet it is.
No one's that stupid.
No one's that stupid.
And yet he is. And yet he is.
Everyone can see him. Which is good, because a certain hot-ass babe is looking for Luffy.
Oh, baby.
And everyone who sees her is enchanted. Except Luffy, who's like, who the fuck's this lady who's been looking for me? I don't... What's with the cowboy hat and the bikini? Are you in the right manga right now? And guess who that turns out to be?
Whom's?
That's the first pirate he ever interacted with as an adult. That's Alvida!
Oh.
She ate the smooth, smooth fruit.
Okay.
So she went from an ogre lady to sexy hot chick.
Oh,
sexy hot chick.
Oh, okay.
And she's not just here for her.
The weight just slid right off.
It just
off
slid
her.
Right off.
Okay, well,
she's
I guess that's fine.
She also lost...
Don't really explain how she lost the weight. It's just she's
yeah, there you go.
Out.
Yeah.
She also lost her freckles, which presumably because they weren't smooth. Who can say?
Huh, okay.
One Piece is weird.
Yeah, weird.
But guess who's with her? That's right, the number one, the absolute pirate king himself, Buggy D. Clown! And he's here to kill your ass!
Okay, so in my head, I can only imagine that if you're watching it and not reading it, Buggy probably came out of left fucking field.
He absolutely did.
Yeah.
This shook people.
But if
anime
you're
only watchers,
reading it,
yeah,
and you get the cover stories, you're like, oh, there he is.
Oh,
we're going to go.
I recognize that hot-ass babe. Yeah. Where's Buggy?
He shows up, and then, like, this. Now he's got his, like, the a Jolly Roger tattooed on his face, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, it's pretty metal.
He's modified his clown face paint to be even cooler.
Yeah, so if you're not aware of the, like, cover story things, it's like Buggy came back, and he's just like, I went to prison. I'm hard now. Like,
I'm hard
with his, like, face tats. And,
yeah. You know. And genuinely, he's having, like, a whole evil speech about all of this, while Luffy, who has climbed to the top of the, like, execution, like, gallows, has, like, all but fully put his hands and head in the position of, like, the pillory. Because he's like, haha, this is what Gold Roger saw. Isn't that cool?
That's awesome.
And so Buggy's, like, guy just, like, puts the pillory down on. And he's like, oh no, I've been captured! How could
that
this happen?
Easy. That easy. Wow. Got his ass.
Is this where they introduce Kairoseki? Sea Prism Stone?
What?
Sea Prism Stone?
No, not explicitly. Okay. I think that gets...
So I thought that was why he couldn't get out. The gallows thing?
Yeah.
Is it made of...
I think that is why. It's just not touched on here.
Okay. Because, well...
This scene happens really fast.
Because Smoker brings it up because it's on the tip of his...
Yeah.
Whatever the fuck his weapon is. It's hard to describe.
It's like a traditional Japanese, like, police weapon where it's like a...
Like a bar cane or no?
So, you know, like a sai, like a, you know, the three-pointed thing?
It's only got like
Raphael uses in the Ninja Turtles.
It's only got like the one...
It's only got that on one side, thing. And they're both rounded at the top, and it is as large as like a sword.
Yeah, it's like a Buster sword.
Oh,
version.
Wow, okay. Oh, shit.
And this is a real weapon, and I'm very ashamed to not know it, because I'm the weebiest. But
it's for like law enforcement?
Yeah.
It's like caning people?
Yeah.
A lot of caning weapons.
It's for
grab... Yeah.
It's catching swords, and then,
and,
you know...
Yeah, and then
so Smoker has one of these, and then he tipped it with Sea Prism Stone, which... mimics the effects of the ocean on devil fruit users.
Oh, yeah. Wow.
So he just pokes you with it, and it's just like, devil fruit. Like, as long as it's touching you, you can't use your powers.
Yeah. And also, like, Luffy's used to, like, when he gets punched or hit with, like, a bat, it doesn't hurt at all. Not just he, like, stretches, it doesn't hurt at all.
Yeah, no damage.
So when this guy just, like, jabs him in the throat, Luffy's like,
oh, man.
You can't do that.
Damn.
Pretty great.
Yeah, taking out both cigars and saying, you got a lot to learn, kid. Like,
taking out both cigars. That's funny.
So, Luffy is, like, about to be executed. And, like, it's, like, Sanji and Zoro are, like, trying to fight. Because they saw, too, by the way. Everyone can see that he was an asshole climbing the scaffolding and everything.
Yeah.
So, they're fighting through the crowd. And then Luffy, like, puts it together, like, oh, they're not going to be able to come save me. Sorry, everybody. I guess I died here. That's my bad on the whole calling I'm going to be the Pirate King thing. Zoro can be captain, I guess, if you guys want. Or you guys can just be friends, regular. I guess I'm dying. And then right before Buggy is able to bring down the sword on Luffy's head, a bolt of lightning hits the sword and destroys the gallows.
Okay. Well, shit.
And Buggy's all blackened with soot, and Luffy is like, huh, totally fine.
Well, okay, so also he mentioned it real quick, but Nami was just like, huh, something's changing. It is now, like, it's while all that was happening,
storm
it's
is become, now,
like, windy, yeah. And, like, dark clouds have formed, okay. And it's, like, very thematic and everything, but, like, you're not paying attention, really, because...
It's all very bad.
Yeah, it looks like it's just the storm's ruined because the bad thing's happening.
And Buggy's doing his, like, triumphant, choice. Like, yeah, I'm gonna cut off this asshole's head, then, lightning.
And the storm has arrived. Luffy, by the way, is, like, he's very much like, ha, 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 I lived, bitch. I'll see you later, Buggy. Love this guy.
That's awesome.
He's just, he literally is just like, well, guys, guess this is it. Bye.
Right,
like,
bye. Smiling. Toodles.
We also get to see, like, everybody is, like, making gear that works for their devil fruit now. Because Buggy genuinely has his boys, like, he's like, throw me the gear. And then they throw him, like, a motor for, like, a lawnmower and two axles. And he, like, breaks himself apart and reforms himself around the engine into, like, a Mario Kart.
Oh, my God.
He all but does, like, a sailor transformation, but into a go-kart.
Yeah.
Like,
that's so good.
And then Alvida, her power is, it's the smooth fruit. She can just control friction. So she just turns her feet into, like, 0% friction. And then she just has, like, you there, minions, hold up my slope. And she just has, like, a slope that they just erect to give her some downward momentum to slide.
That's hilarious.
Yeah, she just takes off her high heels and just holds them while she just skates.
Yeah.
Okay, wow. That's
she
fun.
Still uses the giant-ass Oni club thing, whatever the fuck that's called.
Oh, yeah, wow.
Kanoba.
But she's sexy now.
Yeah, she's hot as hell.
Fun.
So there's a big chase now with the Marines and the Straw Hats and... and Buggy and Alvida's pirates, and the storm is now, it's like, it's blowing out west, and Smoker's like, that's the way that they're definitely going to be going. It's towards the Grand Line. It's too perfect for their escape. And then a mysterious man who precipitated all of this with a crisscross face tattoo has been just, like, lurking in the background of a bunch of different shots.
Oh, man.
Where he's just, like, wearing, like, a hood that like almost completely obscures his face. And then he ends up showing up when Smoker meets Luffy, and sort of, he kind of has Luffy dead to rights. Luffy tries to punch him, and he turns to smoke and then re-solidifies around his hand, and is like, Luffy is like, I guess I really am not ready for what's coming next.
Yeah, that's a pretty good move.
Because Luffy's reaction is just like, huh, bye, I guess. And then he does the, but then he's just like, aha, you see my weapon, and then does the poke, which Luffy's just like, well.
Yeah.
Seems like he got me. Like,
he's as god as he can be.
Yeah, that'll do it, man.
And then
pretty thwarted.
This happens very much off panel, like off page. The hooded man shows up and smiles, and then a massive gust of wind blows a bunch of Marines down, and then the next panel is Luffy has gotten away from Smoker.
Okay.
So we don't necessarily see exactly how that went down. Luffy got away though, and Smoker looks at the cloaked man, and is like, why would you do this, dragon?
Oh,
and
shit.
And this is our first introduction to the character that we all will now know is Luffy's actual dad, Monkey D. Dragon.
Oh, wow.
He is the leader of the Revolutionary Army. You see, in this world, the world government controls the Marines, and the pirates represent, like, criminality. But there is also, like, an enemy of the world government who's just like, we have our own idea of how government should be, and we are going to, like, fight the world government. We're not pirates. That's not what we're doing. We're freedom fighters type.
Okay.
And he's in charge of that. He's the most wanted man in the world. And he just sort of showed up. And he was like, and he sees Luffy run away and onto his pirate ship. And he basically just looks and goes, well, I suppose a pirate's a fine lifestyle too. And then he just like, now dragon away. And then he's gone for yeah. hundreds of chapters.
Yeah, I was going to say, I've never even heard of this guy before.
Hope you don't have any more questions because it's not going to come up again for a while.
Crazy.
You still don't even know what it like via his powers, right?
No, we do not.
Yeah.
In fact, for those of you who are current with it, it's kind of implying with how Conqueror's Haki works that, like, so the original thought that people had with his powers is, oh, we just learned about a smoke guy, we learned about a sand guy, we learned about a fire guy, all in, like, the same, like, 5 minutes, essentially. He's probably a wind guy. That's probably what that is. However, we're seeing now, he might not be, because that's the same exact stuff is just what happens when you just are too good at Conqueror's Haki. You just power up, and then now a storm is happening. Mm-hmm. And it's, yeah.
I'll admit, I had the exact same thought. I at first I assumed he was the win-win fruit.
Yeah.
And then later I was like, well, maybe like storm fruit or something like that, you know, but...
And there's a chance that is still correct.
Yeah. Like, we have no idea, but it's, yeah, we're also... currently learning a lot about Conqueror's Haki.
Yeah. So, at this point, they have gotten off the island. Buggy, by the way, because he did actually seriously level up while he was away, he sent some of his dudes to go burn the Straw Hat's ship.
Oh, no.
Because he thought those wily motherfuckers might get away. And I don't want them to be able to get off this island.
That'll do it. Burn their boat.
Unfortunately, that whole storm thing happening, it's just torrents of rain. And poor what's his name? Moji, the guy who's tamed the lion. He's just trying to light his matches and he's like, "Come on! The boss gave me one job."
Yeah, it's like the lion never gets to be threatening again.
No.
Cuz it's just like the giant ass lion is just like huddled over him or something, right? Like trying to block the rain.
Yeah, it's not working because it's just such a horrible storm. Oh man,
that's funny.
It's so dumb.
It's great.
And like I think the difference between Buggy is like before he was like a cocky and like doing like circus bits, and now he's just like no murder mode.
Yeah,
like,
yeah. I'm killing this.
I'm serious. Yeah.
He launched me to another island like this is Tom and Jerry. And as far as Buggy was concerned, this was still regular. He killed guys with knives.
Yeah.
Like, this isn't a cartoon necessarily. I want to bring up right here, now that they have escaped Rogue Town, this is exactly the way to start a part two. Knowing the DNA of your work, you know how to make what makes it function and what people like about it. And you are able to, like, turn that up a little bit.
Yeah.
One note that I have here is if Die Hard had Bruce Willis completely armed and supported during a terrorist attack in Die Hard 2, people probably wouldn't like it as much as what if he also is still one man against many.
Yeah.
No, it's not Die Hard. That is just Kill Hard at that point.
Kill Hard sounds sick as hell, but it's certainly no Die Hard.
Mm-hmm.
One Piece knows exactly what it is. Arlong Park ended with a perfect coming together of the team ready to face the real challenge of the Grand Line, and stopping there makes sense because now we have culminated. We have done the first thing before we get to face the real challenge, which we have already set up. It's from the beginning. We know we were headed there. We're not there yet. We're maybe not even ready yet. And then we end before we get there because the real challenge is yet to come. You don't want to make it, they get to Grand Line, and then it smash over. Credits. That'd be kind of a shit ending.
Yeah.
It would feel like, oh, they either went too long or didn't go long enough. In Rogue Town, we get all of the characters interacting with each other and showing bits of their personality through, like, Nami went shopping, but she actually tricked the guy to get it, like, a different thing. She's wily, and Zoro is, like, he's a man of luck. He puts his faith in the universe, and also everyone, he's clearly a man of power and skill. Even the cursed sword recognizes it. And Sanji is a cook, and he's getting food, and Usopp is a planty boy who does his tricks, so he's getting eggs to make rotten egg stars. Yeah. And Luffy does something that causes everything to come crashing down around them, and it is tradition, and it reaffirms their position as, like, and we're enemies to dicks and we're enemies to the cops. That's what we are as Straw Hats, and then we run away. But importantly, Rogue Town, as the start of like the spiritual part two, also says, remember how the weird powers, everyone loves the weird powers, we're turning those up to 11. Yeah. We're introducing new aspects of them. You remember the swords and stuff and how there was like some lore about that? We're going to add to that with Tashigi and like the great swords and all those lore. We're going to give you a little bit more. Mm. And in fact, we now that we're out of part one, the enemies aren't necessarily episodic. Buggy came back. Alvida came back. Anyone could come back that isn't explicitly murdered because this is a whole world. Remember those characters? And importantly, Smoker, as soon as like he sees that the Straw Hats are leaving, he tells his team, me and Tashigi are essentially abandoning our posts to give chase.
Oh, wow.
To give us the promise of now there are pursuers. There was no real chance of the Marines being like, we finally found you, Straw Hat Luffy.
Yeah.
That wasn't going to happen before. Now it can. Now there
is, yeah.
It's a promise of an overarching plot. And that is where, like, part two of One Piece, I think, really goes. I feel like the second part of One Piece
It also establishes them as being pirates now. They are recognized and officially pirates. Before, they were just some kids just getting up into no good.
Yeah.
But now they are recognized as a threat by the government.
It's also Smoker is like, sort of like the jaded cop.
He is.
Type, where he's...
He's a more interesting and understandable Marine for us to attach to.
Which is like, he still works for the government, he upholds the law, but he knows that like, the law can be dirty, you know?
Yeah.
But like, he's still gotta do it. You know?
He's a wonderfully like... more complex character that is just more likable than every other form of Marine that we've seen. They haven't really been able to be characters before. And, like, part two of any story needs to give more to the reader. You can't just repeat yourself. This isn't Hallmark. This is a Japanese manga. We can't just keep doing the same thing over and over. But you kind of do need to repeat yourself, don't you?
Yeah.
You need to sort of do the same things. But now that we're escalating, we're promising a little bit more. We're headed to the Grand Line, where everything will be more dangerous. The like scale of the threats will be higher. The threats themselves more dangerous. Everything coming together a little bit more interesting. The next adventure will take place over many arcs, rather than one arc. We move here into the entrance of the Grand Line. So a little bit of geography. So the way that the world of One Piece is it's like a water world mostly with islands all over.
Take everything you know about like regular physics and how the atmosphere works and all that shit, weather.
You throw that away.
No.
The Grand Line is absolute chaos. It's
by island.
By island.
Okay.
The regular world, the East Blue, for example, is like a quadrant of the world because the world is like separated into the grand line like circumnavigates it like an equator, and then I think it's Red Line is the other one.
The Red Line is the big land wall that separates the actual like seas.
And in order to get onto the Grand Line, you can't just like start sailing south from whatever island till you reach it.
This land wall is like miles high.
Yeah.
Oh wow.
It's
just red rock, and it's just there. It's just a wall. Like it is scalable, but it's like you gotta be a bad dude to do that.
You need to go to one of the entrances. Because if you don't go through one of the entrances, you either hit the giant rock wall, or if you're just trying to like, I'll just sail into the Grand Line from the side. On either side of the Grand Line is like a miles long stretch called the Calm Belt. The Calm Belt has perfect sunny weather condition with no wind whatsoever, and is so infested with Godzillas.
Yeah, they'll do it.
That it is virtually impossible to navigate. And these Godzillas are also, they like, we got introduced to a couple of these, I think they're Sea Kings is the term for them.
If you ever want your ocean to be not navigable in your story, just add some Godzillas in there.
Yeah. Sea King is just, like, general term for any kind of giant, like, sea monster.
Yeah. Because some of them are like giant centipedes. Some of them.
Do this thing into a Kraken. You can do a Godzilla.
Yeah, sea kings are like giant like chimera monsters.
And I have theories about them that we'll get to once I get to my theory portion of one of these episodes way later. We got to see one of them bite off Shanks' arm in the first chapter. It was big, but it was like its mouth could fit a rowboat inside of. It was big, but not like that big. And then we got to see Arlong's pet Sea King, and it was big. It moving through a town destroyed it. It was like, you know, 30 to 40 feet tall. But like they kind of go into the calm belt a little bit, and a Sea King rises up that is so gigantic that their full-sized boat, their ship that like people can like live on for weeks and months at a time, it could have fallen into its nostril.
Oh wow, holy shit.
Unimaginably gigantic Godzillas. So go to the entrance.
Yeah, holy cow.
Mm-hmm.
It's a place called Reverse Mountain. You go in. It is because of how Grand Line works, your currents will change like as soon as you get to an island. And that means that like if you're going to the wrong kind of island, if you don't like go to a port and like weigh anchor, the current, as soon as it hits the island, just goes under, like, down. So it'll just suck your boat down if you try to, like, beach your vessel.
Holy shit.
Yeah. It's dangerous. So they have to, like, line themselves up into, like, a cool little, okay, we gotta make sure that we aim right for these gates leading up to the current that leads up the mountain. And then once it gets to the top of the mountain, it goes down the other way side of the mountain, and that's the entrance to the Grand Line. It's a huge water slide, wonderful adventure. Oh no, they're gonna hit the wall, but Luffy inflates like a balloon, and wow! And then we get down to the bottom, where there's an unimaginably gigantic whale waiting for them.
Oh, fuck.
And they smash into it, and Luffy, because he's like, hey, whale, get the fuck out of my way! The whale wasn't listening, so he punches it, and it swallows.
Oh, why would you do this? Why would you do this?
Right into its open eyeball.
That's how Luffy rolls.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
It's in the way.
So it eats the ship.
Yeah, of course.
This whale's being rude.
Of course it fucking does.
Luffy treats basically any creature as if it was a person.
Yeah.
So if the whale is like not responding to him yelling at it,
it's being
rude. Yeah.
Exactly.
Gotta love the logic.
So everybody gets eaten by the whale except Luffy. And Luffy is like beating on the whale, like, give me back my friends. And then he quickly realizes, I don't know if I can beat up this whale.
Yeah.
Did I just get everyone killed?
Oh, fuck.
And then as he's having this thought, he sees there's like a hatch in the whale.
What?
Yeah. Like on a submarine.
What?
Yeah, just like a, like turn the wheel and it opens up.
Okay, all right.
And he goes inside the whale and it's like a metal hallway, like it's a submarine.
Oh,
and he's like, I didn't know that whales did this. Is this how
Yeah, Luffy doesn't know any better.
So it's not a whale.
It is a whale.
No, it is a whale. What?
Yeah. So Luffy is wandering through the ventilation system of this whale, I guess. And the crew is like in the whale's stomach. And there's an island there with, like, an old man on it.
Just chilling because in the submarine whale.
The stomach of the whale is all but, like, a giant lake, basically. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it's beautiful down there. It looks like the sky. And he's like, I painted the sky. It's not a real sky.
Oh.
And they try to talk to him. And this man has, like, the most powerful aura. They play it up for a whole chapter that every time someone's like, who are you? And he's like, it's rude to ask someone's name if you haven't given it yourself. And then, like, intense eyes stare down with Zoro, and Zoro's like, I see. Well, where? And then he's like, my name. And then he just introduces himself.
Which, yeah, it's just like an old dude, like, just kind of chilling.
Yeah. He's the lighthouse keeper.
He's got, like, a flower on his
head. He's got a flower hat. Yeah. His hair looks like giant flower petals.
Huh.
He doesn't have all the flower.
One-piece design?
Yeah. He's got a very one-piece design. He also has, like, a weird form of beard, which is like a mustache on your lower lip.
Huh.
Like, just, like, a soul patch, if a soul patch could, like, wing to the side.
That's awkward.
Very weird. They talk to the old man, who informs them that he is this whale's doctor. And it is too damn big for him to be, like, performing, like, any medicine on it from the outside. So he has been, like, surgically cyborging this whale into a vessel.
Oh, okay. I'm still trying to get you, like, what's up with this goddamn whale? Okay.
And at this point, we also get to see there's other people that have infiltrated the whale. This woman with blue hair and this guy wearing a crown. Miss Wednesday and Mr. Nine, and they're armed with only bazookas.
Wow.
It was a hell of an entrance. That's the only weapons they brought.
And are they just like, fuck the whale, or...
There's no clear goal that they establish. They don't say we need the whale for X. They don't say we need it for Y. What they say is, if we don't get this whale, then our boss will be mad at us and we're already late. Okay. I don't know if they want it succulent whale flesh. There's a
sense of urgency.
Yeah.
There's a sense of urgency. They need the whale and they need it now.
It is, yeah. It's... One Piece is weird. Okay.
Yeah, it is. Which, it's not. This is a whale, but Tony, this is a very special whale. Okay,
I wonder why.
His name is Laboon. Yes,
Laboon. Yes. What does Laboon do?
So Laboon is what's called an island whale. They're from West Blue.
Of course, and, he is. Why wouldn't he
be? They grow to be gigantic. That's their whole thing.
Okay,
they grow to be so big that they can support islands and stuff.
It's like a blue whale plus,
yeah,
basically.
Yeah. If a child drew what they imagine a blue whale to be, but only, like, as most children, knowing what a sperm whale looks like.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it makes sense.
Yeah. So this whale, they are informed, it has scars all over the front of its face, which they didn't get to see, what with being eaten.
Yeah.
But we did, because we got to see from the outside. And we learn that it's because this whale just smashes into the red line over and over. The wall of just snow.
Oh, wow, what the fuck?
He's trying to get out of the Grand Line.
Oh.
And then this old man is just, like, running through, like, the ventilation ducts of this whale. And he, like, has to inject it with a comedically gigantic syringe full of, like, muscle relaxer so that he calms down and doesn't just smash his head to bits.
And, that's sad.
It gets sadder.
Yeah, why is he doing that, Tony?
Why?
It's a good question.
Why is he doing it?
Well, a long, long time ago, he was separated from his family, his whale family, and then he was sort of adopted as a mascot by a bunch of pirates. And they took this whale with them all over West Blue until they were ready to enter the Grand Line. And unfortunately... They couldn't take him with them because, like, island whales belong in West Blue. You have to stay here, and they promised that they'd come back for him, but they had to go.
Yeah, well, and the Grand Line is dangerous, and he was just a baby.
He's a baby,
little baby whale.
This is when he's like regular. He's like the size of like a dolphin.
He's
like
when he's,
yeah.
And so they try to leave him behind, and they enter the Grand Line same way as our Straw Hats do, and then who comes up behind him? He followed him right up the fucking path. The whale is now in the Grand Line. And they say, well, listen, you're still just a little baby. We can't get you back up through there. That's not how the Grand Line works. You can't just turn around. It's a one-way street, and then there are some off-ramps, pretty much. So what they do is they talk to this lighthouse keeper, who is the doctor of the whale, and they say, like, we're going to come back for the whale. Can you take care of him for, like, 3 to 5 years? And he's like, yeah, I love whales, no problem. But he says it with, like, his trademark, like, super intimidating, like, you want to leave it with me? And they're like, yeah, that's cool, I love whales.
That's, yeah, that's awesome.
I really love this bit, too, because he's a completely powerless character.
He gets his presence.
He's just got aura.
I love that. That's awesome.
And, in the flashback, they show that Lighthouse Doctor Man had a full flower on his head. And now he only has like a half flower because he's got like the male pattern baldness, old guy bald.
That's funny.
That was a long time ago.
Yeah.
The pirates didn't come back.
Aww.
It's been 50 years.
Aww.
And even worse. And they're like, oh, so you got to tell Laboon. You got to like be honest with him. You got to tell him like what happened. And he's like... Oh, I did. I so long ago. You think I'm still learning that lesson? That fucking was the first thing that happened. I was completely honest with him. And he started smashing his head into the red line.
Aww.
They're like, God, that's so awful. They must have all died, right? And he's like, it's actually a little bit worse than that. And they're like, how's it worse? He's like, well, I don't know the specifics. I was never able to find any of them individually. But their boat did famously exit the Grand Line. Like,
ooh.
This is like a thing that people know about. And then they didn't come back for him. And they're like, that sucks. Did you tell him that? And he's like, I did. I thought it would make him stop smashing his head into Red Line. And they're like, did it make him sad? He said, makes him smash his head into Redline. What the fuck do you think?
He's just suicidal. Holy shit.
Yeah.
That's so sad. Why is One Piece so sad?
Because of how cool it can be. Trust me. The payoff for the Laboon is huge, and we don't get to it for like 300 chapters.
God bless.
Which, so they're getting this heart-wrenching explanation, and then all of a sudden, remember, there's two people with bazookas.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We're like, die, Will! And then they shoot at it, and I mean, he's pretty much unharmed. He's so big.
Yeah.
There's so much of it.
Yeah, bazooka's not gonna.
Yeah, but at this point, Luffy's just like, no, this whale is my friend now.
Yeah,
like,
of course.
So he whips their asses, and they rob them. They're like, oh, they beat up Miss Wednesday and Mr. Nine and take all of their belongings.
Run the jewels.
Yeah, throw them into the sea. Fuck off. And Luffy, upon hearing this story, he's really touched by it, and so he goes quiet while everybody's talking about it, and like Sanji is like, okay, that is sad. And those guys were dicks for shooting at it with a bazooka while we were still inside, but now they got out. So I don't have like a gripe against whaling. I'm a cook. I kind of depend on whalers. And they're like, I don't know if we should interfere in this. But Luffy already decided that they would.
Yeah.
So whatever. And then Luffy,
you ready for this? Incredibly reasonable reaction, Tony.
Luffy walks up to Laboon, who is, just being a whale right now. He's just
doing whale
out.
Things.
And he rips the mast off of their ship.
Holy fuck.
Which is, like, incredible, horribly irresponsible damage to do.
Yeah.
That's like, being a bad pirate.
Yeah, that's like irreversible damage.
Yeah, it is. It ends up actually really mattering later.
And because Laboon has been slurring his face against Redline, he's got some... You know, cuts and whatever.
He's all scarred up on the front of him. So Luffy goes up to the whale and smashes the broken mast into the whale.
Oh, fuck.
And starts just punching the shit out of it. And Laboon, like, whips him around, like, well, what are you doing? And, like, smashes Luffy into the rocks. And Luffy's like, it seems we're evenly matched. We'll need to have a rematch after I go around the Grand Line. Don't worry, I'll be back soon. And the whale is so touched because this guy's also promising to come back for him. And Luffy, because he's like, we're friends now, we're brothers, paints his Jolly Roger on the front of the whale over its scars.
Aww.
Luffy, however, has the artistic skills of a less than talented 5-year-old.
So he makes the Jolly Roger on.
It's so shitty.
Yeah,
it's hilariously shitty.
That's awesome.
But he's just like, see, like this mark means that like I will come back one day, and until then, like you can't smash your head against the rocks.
Because if you do, you'll wash away the paint. So you can't do it at all. And they leave, and they're getting ready to leave, and the lighthouse keeper is like, you guys are real men, I can see that. Like, with his intense, like, fucking aura, and Luffy's like, we'll be back, old man. That much you can believe. And then they go to, they're ready to leave, and then Miss Wednesday and Mr. Nine are there like, so you took all of our shit, and they're like, we absolutely did. In fact, it's important that they took all their shit. Compasses don't work on the Grand Line. All of Nami's, like, skills are, like, kind of thrown out the window.
Oh, man.
In order to navigate the Grand Line, you need what's called a log pose, which is like a shitty little compass needle that sits in like a glass globe, but you have to hang it from the top. It's a very fragile instrument. And then it just leads to like, because of like the way that the electromagnetism works here, it just leads to the next island in a straight line down the Grand Line. And then you have to go to that island and wait for it to record its log, and then it will point to the next island.
Oh, wow.
And that sometimes takes a while.
Basically, it's just like as you get closer to like islands, the pose has to like acclimate to like the region, and then it'll once it gets the fix, basically it'll point towards the next island.
Yeah,
okay.
But it's like kind of random, you know? Like it's pretty much the nearest one is where it's going to point you to.
Yeah.
Huh.
After this point, like choosing where you're going on the Grand Line becomes real difficult. If you don't choose right here at the entrance what route you're going to go down, it's essentially impossible to go to certain islands.
Oh, wow.
To which Luffy says, that's fine. If I don't like the route that we're on, we'll just go all the way back around.
Huh.
You know, the thing that no one in history besides the Pirate King ever did?
Yeah.
Yeah, Luffy's opinion is just like, That's what makes it an adventure, baby.
Yeah.
Yeah, God bless. Oh, yeah.
And it's actually really good that they robbed those guys because they didn't have a log pose. But those guys had a log pose. Miss Wednesday had one. And then as they're, like, all talking and arguing and stuff, they, like, fall into Nami, who, like... And then the little tiny glass globe just shatters, destroys it. And as soon as they're like, hey, can we... You robbed us of all of our stuff. Can we get, like, a ride home? And they're like, yeah, I guess we'll give you a ride, but we did break your log pose.
Oh.
And they're like, that was our only one that pointed directly back home. It was a special one. And they're like, well, now it's a broken one.
Oh, my God.
So we'll do our best, but I guess we might die at sea because we don't have any tools of navigation. And then the doctor guy's like, in recognition of your manhood and how cool you were to my whale, this is another log pose. Don't break this one for the bit.
Yeah, was the one they broke an eternal pose?
I think so, yeah.
Okay, so there's log poses, which acclimate to the nearest island, and then there's an eternal pose, which is permanently locked to one island.
Yeah.
Okay. So it'll always point you directly towards that
island. That island, yeah. And they broke it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not good.
And that is where they...
Those are not easy to come by. Especially eternal poses. Those are like extra hard to get.
Yeah. That's the kind of shit that you get if you're head of state. Which is foreshadowing.
Oh,
because
wow.
And they say like, okay, we our like home is Whiskey Peak. It's one of the first islands in Grand Line. If you're just starting your adventure, it's actually a great way place to go. And they end up going. That's like the first choice that they make. They're like, we're all going to Whiskey Peak, everybody. That'll be the adventure. Yay. And they get there and they get to see their first weird ass island on the Grand Line. It looks like it looks like a giant cactus. It's like a Yoshi's Island type situation. You can see on all the little, like, it's giant hills, but like then an orb on the hill to make it look like a cactus and an orb on that one. And you can see there are little needles on all the fucking cactuses. Isn't that cool? Whiskey Peak, the Grand Line, so interesting. And they get there, and there's a party going down. Everyone's celebrating that pirates are here.
Oh, fun.
Because they welcome the Straw Hats, and they say, our entire economy is a tourist economy. And pirates who have made it to the Grand Line often have money, and like they just finished a major adventure. They want to be able to relax. So we just have a party town. That's Whiskey Peak. That's
oh, fun.
How wonderful is that? And everybody's having such a good time. And they go into town and Luffy is feasting until he's big and cartoonishly fat. Like is like a balloon. And, oh, Nami and Zoro are drinking. And, oh, after 15 or 16, Zoro went down, but Nami didn't. She kept drinking. Oh, and then she passes out. And everyone passes out in the night. Isn't it wonderful?
Wasn't it funny how she outdrank that nun who's like 7 feet tall,
yeah,
and very large looking underneath her.
There is a disproportionate number of nuns in Whiskey Peak.
Okay,
in fact, just off of my basic memory, there's two that Zoro has to fight.
All right,
I'll get to that in a moment. So, during the celebrations, everyone passes out, and it's revealed that the townspeople, after everything's gone to bed, they're all gathering, and they have weapons.
Oh, shit.
You see, this town isn't actually a tourist celebration-y town. It's actually a town populated entirely by bounty hunters. Because you made it to the Grand Line, that means that you're strong enough to get a fucking bounty, but not so strong that you can outsmart Party Town.
Oh, man.
So they get you drunk, and then they capture your ass and turn you over to the government for money.
And steal all your shit.
Crafty. And as they're discussing, like, that kid has like a 20 million berry bounty. Wow, that's crazy. And Zoro's like, it is crazy. It's crazy you people believed that Nami outdrank me and that I would be so foolish as to not do any of this. And what's more, I have more fucking reveals for you because I see that Miss Wednesday and Mr. Nine are here. And their names reminded me of a certain organization that reaches out to all bounty hunters of a certain level. The Baroque Works. I'm on to you guys. They invited me back in the day when I was the pirate hunter.
Oh, man.
And so then he proceeds to beat the shit out of an entire city of people.
Yeah. Hell yeah.
Because then at this point, everyone's just like, ha ha! And then they take off their disguises.
Yeah.
And like that nun I was talking about is just this extremely yoked chick.
Oh, yeah.
So. Who tries to fight Zoro, and he's just like, that's adorable.
Yeah. She like punches his skull into the ground. And, like, he just grabs her head and is like, swordsmen make their strength off their grip. And just, like, Iron Claw just, like, brings her to her knees.
Oh, yeah.
She's, like, a foot taller than him, too. Yeah.
There's also another nun that he fights in this because, like, he's beating the shit out of everybody using his new swords. And he's like, this is so cool. These are good swords. And then, like, he turns with his swords and he sees, like, a little boy and a nun. And they're like, oh, please, sir, we're just innocent bystanders. And he's like, really? And then the nun pulls her rosary and her cross shoots blinding powder.
Yep, there it is.
And the little boy pulls a gun and Zoro appears behind them like, I knew this shit.
Yep, yep.
Knocks their asses out.
No one's innocent on this island.
No one's innocent.
The mayor has like an old-timey judge, you know, ringlet.
Like a barrister's wig.
Yeah, wig. And then he constantly does the, like, if you're trying to, you know, like the tune, you're like, ma, ma, ma. Like,
ma, ma.
That's his little like verbal tick thing at the end of his sentences.
Yeah. Okay.
And his weapon is a trumpet that he, and it shoots bullets.
It's a shotgun.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
It rules. And then his secret technique... later, we get to see is he also wears like a bolo tie,
uh-huh.
And he like puts his thumbs through like the big loops, and he pulls that, and then gun barrels come out of like his
what
wind.
The fuck,
and it just machine guns like.
That's awesome.
One Piece rules. Yeah. It's so ridiculous.
Is it, he all but just like, you know what it is, and then he pulls his fucking.
That's awesome.
And during this fight, because Zoro is just killing it. More Baroque Works people show up.
Oh, baby.
Miss Valentine and Mr. Five.
Yeah, Mr. Five.
And they don't really matter unless they have a Miss or Mr.
Like their title.
Title or, yeah.
If that pairing means that this character is a big deal.
Yeah.
Technically, all of this town works for Rogue Baroque Works. I mix it up with Rogue Works when I'm writing it down.
That's
because
funny,
that is the title of an organization in my own writing, and they're real close.
Yeah, anyone else, they're a red shirt.
Yeah, they're a red shirt. They don't matter. That nun, no way.
Yeah.
but they're not there to help everybody who's getting their ass beat by Zoro. They're there because Miss Wednesday has broken the big rule of the Baroque Works. Number one rule, don't fucking look into the membership of Baroque Works.
Yeah, this is true.
And specifically, she's been looking into the organization's leader, Mr. Zero. In response, they looked into her. And discovered her to be, dun-dun-dun, the Princess of Alabasta.
Oh, wow.
A head of state would have an eternal log, but it doesn't matter. So she, also she has like a chocobo duck.
Oh, and, fun.
That is, I love Vivi. She's great. That's her name. She's Vivi. And she has a chocobo duck and the worst weapon ever designed. So... I want you to imagine like a guitar pick that's made of metal that is like sharpened like along the edges like a katana. Like that. That's the
how do you hold it?
Well, a string is attached to one of the sides, and that string leads to a small ring. The string is about 12 to 14 inches. It's very short, and then that string is attached to the pinky, and then she just wings it around in a circle. You'll notice it's very close range as well.
Huh.
She doesn't get anybody with it.
Yeah, no.
Not once.
And she does ride-bys on her chocobo.
Yeah. Doesn't work. It's not a good move.
Yeah, seems pretty impotent.
But the duck's great. I love the duck.
The duck rules.
Because he's like a combination of a chocobo, but like, and also the Looney Tunes, St. Bernard with the whiskey barrel.
Oh, hell yeah.
Because he's got like a little sippy cup whiskey thing, like barrel, but it's just got water, and he just...
Aww.
Yeah.
He's ready for the desert.
Yeah, and he
which is Alabasta.
So he'll just be running, and then he takes a break, and he picks up his soupy cup. And, yeah.
I love it. This is so good.
So Miss Valentine and Mr. Five are both there to kill her.
Yeah.
And that's when it's revealed that the guy with the barrister's wig and the shotgun trumpet and a bunch of other people only joined the Baroque Works in this situation so that they could protect their princess.
Aww.
And... they try to stand up to the other guys, and they get taken down so easily.
Oh, man.
But they turn to Zorro and they're like, "We understand now. We get it. Why you lied about that other idiot asshole being your captain. We know you're really the strong one. Please, Zorro, will you save our princess and get her back home to Alabasta? And you'll be greatly rewarded. We can promise you so much money." To which Nami is like, "Money, you say?
Money,
you didn't think I passed out over a mere 17 drinks, did you? I also was lying." And she immediately is like, I just so happen to have written up this contract here that says that we'll get 1 billion berries if we do this. Sign right here, 1 billion berries. And they're like, "That's a lot of money for me to be prom. I can't necessarily make that promise." And she's like, "It sounds like you don't want us to save her, which sounds sad to me. But 1 billion berries could change that." She is fully, just full on negotiating this while a war is happening in the back.
Yeah. That's funny.
Zoro does go to protect Vivi because Nami is like, we gotta talk business. You protect her at least until we get all this sorted. But while he's doing that, Luffy, who did pass out, he didn't lie. He didn't fake pass out like Zoro and Nami. He wakes up to go for a piss, really. And he sees that for some reason, Zoro has beaten the shit out of everyone in this super fun town.
Oh, man.
Those were nuns.
Those what were an nuns. Asshole.
Why would you do this? What's wrong with you?
So he's like, you got to get your boy. Everyone knows that.
You got to get your boy.
He's acting a fool. You got to get him. So we get a brief peek at what could have been like our first like big fight with Zoro versus Luffy.
Oh, man. That would have been it.
And it starts off cartoony, but then like they knock each other into like opposite buildings. And then as they step out, Zoro does his serious thing, which is he has like a bandana around his arm and then he ties it on his head.
Oh,
and it
baby.
Puts his eyes in shadows, and that's how you know he's serious. And then out from the other building, Luffy has like all of the big cartoon fat from eating too much has like gone down, and he looks hardcore again, and it's like, now it's gonna be a real fight. It's about time. We're finally gonna figure out who's strongest between us. And then Nami comes up and is like, "What are you doing?" And they're like, "Nothing." She's like, "We got a fucking princess to protect. There's 1 billion berries. Don't be ridiculous."
Yeah, Zoro and Luffy do that thing where it's like they're absolute bros, but they secretly want to fight each other. You know?
Yeah. The rivalry.
And while they're doing their fight,
they're not even like rivals. They just want to know.
Yeah.
Like,
they don't ever have a serious
fight.
Yeah,
they just want to like, they're just like, I just want
something. That's the closest we get to it. And during that fight, by the way, because now they're protecting Vivi, Miss Valentine and Mr. Five are like, "Then I suppose we'll have to take you out." And they start explaining their powers. Like, Mr. Five is he had the bomb fruit. All of his body is an explosive.
What the fuck?
If you hit him too hard, a reactionary explosive goes off and blows you up. He like picks his nose and like flicks a booger, and that's like a huge explosion.
Oh, man.
He's a big deal. And he gets taken out because Zoro hit Luffy too hard and he knocked him into a building.
Oh, there you go.
And then Miss Valentine, her power is the Kilo fruit. She can freely control her own mass. She can make herself...
That's potentially super strong.
It's extremely strong. She jumps up, she makes herself super duper light, and then she makes herself thousands and thousands of pounds and just drops like a meteor. And Zoro just steps out of the way of that.
Naturally.
She floats around Mary Poppins style.
With an umbrella.
Oh, fun.
And then, then she does the... like ass bomb, basically.
Yeah.
That's her one move. Is...
So one thing I did want to bring up again. So Zoro and Luffy were too strong for East Blue. So Sanji, just too strong for East Blue. They beat all the strongest guys there. But specifically, they beat at least the past two like big bosses have been guys who explicitly were the strongest in East Blue, went to Grand Line, and then one of them came back in shame. And then the other one came back... in retirement.
Yeah.
They were a big deal. They still have not left the areas in which the enemy, like, level is anything but, like, green and gray. Yeah. They're still the strongest guys around.
Okay.
It's changing soon, but at least for, like, this beginning intro of your part two, reestablishing them as the major, like, powers is very good. And genuinely, as soon as Nami, like, calls them out on it, they just go to, like, roughhousing, like, pinching each other and, like, being mean.
That's cute.
Like brothers or something, because they're not Goku and Vegeta. They're not going to be like, "You have to step aside, I have to prove myself. So they end up leaving this island, and the end of this island informs us that Baroque Works is trying to take over Alabasta, this far-off kingdom, to run as their perfect utopia under Mr. Zero. And the lower the number in agents rank, the more important and powerful they'll be, but they'll also have like a higher office in the new nation that they make. And while Vivi is explaining the plight of her country, Luffy asks, "Who is this Mr. Zero anyway?" And Vivi is like, "I can't tell you, or else you'll be hunted forever just like me." And Nami is like, "That's good, that's right. That's an unnecessary risk for us to take. We don't need to do that for this job." And Vivi is like, "Yeah, Crocodile's one of the seven warlords of the sea. He's way too dangerous." And they all look at each other like, "Oops. Did you just fucking say that?
Oh, man.
You asshole?" And then we've seen, like, when it was decided that Miss Wednesday and Mr. Nine were, like, going to be killed by the other Baroque Works guys, there's, like, a different team that's an otter riding a vulture.
Oh, who wow.
just keep an okay. eye on the members.
That's fun.
Wearing sunglasses.
Yeah, they're wearing sunglasses.
That's how you know they're spies.
Yeah.
And they have a camera. they just snap pics of what happened and they fly back.
That's adorable.
And they report.
That's adorable.
And they're there. They're just in the background and they're like, and everyone's like, "Oh, no, now they know that we all know. Oh, fuck. Oh, you fucked it, Vivi. Why would you do this to us?" And Luffy is like, "You need to relax. I was going to beat their ass anyway. There's no way that this was going to stop when we just got her there." The last thing also, the cover arcs have, we get to see how things went with Kobe and Helmeppo.
Oh, fun.
While trying to hand over Axe and Morgan to the Vice Admiral Garp, Morgan, using the axe hand that they let him keep.
Yeah, for inexplicable reasons.
Yeah, he axed the Vice Admiral. He just axed him right in the chest.
Wow, okay.
He goes down.
How could this have happened?
Morgan grabs... Yeah. How could this have happened? Ah!
Fuck.
Morgan grabs his son, Helmeppo, and holds him at axe point and is like, "You guys gotta let me go, or I'm gonna kill the boy." And Helmeppo's like, "Daddy, why?" And they get down onto like an escape dinghy, and he's still holding Helmeppo at axe point. And the Marines are like, "All right, well, he's off the boat now. Aim the cannons at the fucking rowboat." Brutal. And then Kobe takes everybody's pistols and like he pulls on him. He's like, "Nobody moves. Nobody's shooting my friend in the rowboat."
Aww.
And he stands in front of the cannon they were aiming.
Aww.
And then the Marines, who are the personal attendants of the Vice Admiral, cut all of those guns into ribbons. Just like a cartoon, like Zorro. Just,
oh, yeah.
And now they're just like circles. And Helmeppo jumps off of the thing, and we see Morgan sort of sail off into the distance. Helmeppo climbs back onto the Marine ship. He left his dad. He didn't want to stay with his dad. And now Kobe and Helmeppo have to apologize to the Vice Admiral, who got up and is fine, by the way.
Oh, good.
He actually was taking more of an old man nap while everyone was talking, and then he mostly got knocked down by the axe.
Okay, good. He didn't get maimed and mauled.
Yeah, no, bad. He's fine.
Okay, as long as he's fine.
And he looks at them and he's like, "You two kids, you got it. You've got it. I can't tell you what it is, but you've got it. And then he turns to the commanding officers of the area and is like, "I'm taking these two children under my wing. I'm going to turn them into main characters. It'll take 300 to 500 chapters, but I think they've got it in them."
I love that. That's good. This is good.
A couple things I didn't think we... Because... So it's like... Kevin mentioned they have bounties now, and it's just like, why is that a big deal? Because it's like... It's not the same, but his bounties kind of work like power levels in One Piece.
I could see that. You hire a bounty, more important guy.
Yeah, it's like as your bounty goes up, it's like you are known to be a stronger person.
Yeah.
Like, but it's not like a
one-to-one.
Like a hard set thing. It's just like, in general, that gives you an idea of how strong a dude is.
Yeah, like they bring up Arlong's bounty is like 1/8 of Crocodile's bounty. Okay. So Arlong was a big deal, but Crocodile is a big deal.
Yeah, that makes sense.
And then the other thing, he mentioned Logia types. I don't know if we've talked about the types of devil fruits.
Yeah.
There's three, just real quick. It's Logias make you like...
Turn you into an element.
Yeah, like an embodiment of like nature or a thing.
Yeah.
Like smoke or smoke. Paramecia.
Paramecia
your body becomes like a thing. So Luffy's rubber.
Yeah.
Okay.
Buggy being able to separate himself.
Yeah. Permeshi is like the weird one, and then
It's the Hufflepuff of the.
Yeah, and then Zone Fruit is just the werewolf. What you turn into a
creature,
usually an animal,
yeah,
of some kind. Not always, but usually.
Okay.
Like the first one that we really get to see is a guy who has like the ability to turn into an ox, and then like we get to learn that Logias have like. You got your regular form, which you're, you know, you're stronger technically now for having eaten a devil fruit in just general. Not necessarily like strictly one-to-one power level, but like generally. But then like you can turn into a full animal, which is like has all the benefits of being that animal. Or you can be a half animal, like a werewolf man. And like you get to move between those three. And then the pretty much Chopper, their doctor... like invents a drug that lets you do even more shit. It's crazy.
Okay.
Yeah. And that's like, I'm pretty sure Smoker or somebody gives like a quick breakdown of like, this is how that works. And then it's just like moving on. And
I believe in...
it's really just to tell you like Luffy punched him and like, why didn't anything happen?
Yeah.
It's like,
I think in the next arc we get introduced to Ace, and during the big thing with Ace and Smoker, I think that's when all this gets explained.
And with that, we're going to end tonight's episode. Thank you so much for listening. If you enjoy the nature of this content, and going to give us a like and subscribe on YouTube. You can go ahead and give me a follow on Blue Sky. You can support us on our Patreon. And I'd like to go ahead and give a big thanks to our Patreon supporters, Uncle Manny and Midnight Grimoire. With your support, you help keep Scryer's Room coming and allow us to keep improving our podcast.
Thank you guys so much. Have a good night.
Have a good night.